Production has stopped in timber mills on both sides of the U.S.-Canadian border as a dispute over softwood, the kind used to build homes, has intensified. U.S. lumber producers have accused the Canadians of subsidizing their industry, and in turn, the Canadians have charged Americans with protectionism for levying trade duties. Negotiations between the two countries have been as unproductive as the mills in recent months. On May 8th, short of a deal, the U.S. Commerce Department will slap a 29% tariff on Canadian lumber. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
For more than two decades, Canada and the United States have argued over lumber. Every 5 years, a temporary truce is worked out. The last one expired in March, but efforts to reach a new deal failed. Canada blames the United States. Provincial Forest Minister Mike DeYoung.
Our neighbor to the south had no commitment and no willingness to help fashion that agreement with us. And that, at the end of the day, I think is going to impact our relationship with the United States and is profoundly disappointing to all of us.
If that sounds like diplomatic speak about a trade issue of no real consequence to anyone but those involved, consider this. The lack of an agreement and the resulting tariff could add $1,500 to the price of a new home here. And in Canada, it's fueled a fierce anti-American sentiment. Corinne Lonsdale is the mayor of Squamish, a small timber town in British Columbia, which has lost nearly 1,000 jobs already.
Speaking with my daughter, who lives in another forest-dependent town in British Columbia, Prince George, she works in Overweighty, and she has customers now coming through her wicket angry because they've inadvertently taken something to the till that was made in the United States and saying, you can put this back on the shelf because I'm not buying it.
That may come as a surprise to Americans, but in fact, Canada is the United States' largest trade partner, and the U.S. imports a third of Canada's softwood. At the heart of the dispute are two different systems of managing timber on public land. The U.S. charges that Canada unfairly exports its lumber at artificially low prices. That's because unlike U.S. mills, Canadian mills don't have to bid competitively for timber. The government sets the price. Canada charges that the U.S. is unfairly taxing Canadian lumber to help its own industry compete. The finger-pointing is unending, and even economists are at odds to compare what is essentially an apples-and-oranges situation. David Emerson is the president and CEO of Canfor, Canada's largest softwood producer. Looking out the windows of his 30th-floor office in one of Vancouver's tallest buildings, he fumes.
It's really all about market share, and it's been dressed up rhetorically as, oh, Canadians are subsidizing their timber and their mills are subsidized. But I think at the end of the day, it's all about a narrow industrial interest group in the United States that's got an awful lot of power and clout, and they're using that power and clout to keep the competition out.
Scott Shotwell heads up the group Emerson is talking about. He's the executive director of the Coalition for Fair Lumber Imports, the lobbying arm of U.S. mill owners. In a makeshift headquarters just blocks from the White House, he fumes as well.
What happens is that they'll flood the market with the lumber at a very low rate, because that's what they only pay just a minimal amount for their timber. They can manufacture it and ship it and send it cheaper than we can manufacture it down here.
In reality, both countries subsidize, but neither wants to call it that. What both governments have had in common in recent years is a desire to bolster their sagging timber industries as they weather environmental challenges and global competition. Here at the Interfor sawmill in Squamish, a Canadian flag flaps in the breeze. It's the only thing moving in the giant log yard. Inside the cavernous mill, it's just as still.
Normally, of course, we'd be wearing hearing protection because of the noise level, and we'd have about 30 guys on this shift.
This is one of dozens of mills in BC and Quebec that have ceased production until further notice. Since the agreement expired in March, duties imposed by the U.S. have added an average 32% to the cost of Canadian softwood. Keith Rush is the general manager for Interfor's coastal mills.
And, you know, like people say, well, don't they understand, like, what's happening to, you know, the workers and all that stuff. And I guess our thinking is, well, you know, probably nobody much cares down there.
Rush has been in the timber business 30 years. He started as a choke setter here in Squamish. He scoffs at the charge that the Canadian industry is subsidized. Yes, the timber's owned by the government and leased at set prices, but his company, for example, must pay for all the planning, road construction, and reforestation. Costs, he says, that in the U.S. are borne by the government.
We're just in the middle of doing our ninth management working farm for the tree farm license here, and it's costing us hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it. You know, you have to have all the wildlife specialists, you know, do all the goat studies, the bear studies, the eagle studies, the, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it just costs a whack of money to do it.
Money that's a poor investment if there's no market for the timber. At a mill a few hundred miles south in Idaho, there's the same sweet smell of cedar and the same uncertainty. An American flag flies over Three Rivers Timber, a cluster of metal-roofed buildings on the banks of the Clearwater River in the tiny timber town of Kamia. Like Rush, Bill Mulligan has also been in the business 30 years. He bought this place from Weyerhaeuser and has pumped millions of dollars into upgrades.
These are where we screen our chips and our sawdust, and then the oversize comes off here and goes through and gets chipped again.
The mill is in full production today, two shifts, 115 employees, but it's been shut down every year recently for 2 to 6 weeks because of cheap Canadian imports. Mulligan has little sympathy for any pinch that's being felt up north.
I hate going to equipment auctions of mills. Every one of them is a really sad, tragic story. But, you know, it's unfortunate in looking at it and comparing our situation to the Canadians. But it's kind of like we've been there and done that already.
Mulligan's operation is more like his Canadian counterparts than most U.S. mills because it relies on timber from public land. But unlike the Canadians, Mulligan has to bid for it at competitive auction. Just like the mill in Squamish, this mill is the heart of the town, the provider of the best-paying jobs, the largest source of property taxes. But while there are more similarities between the two communities than differences, nobody on either side of the border seems to be able to see past their own plight. The dispute has fostered some new and strange alliances. Some 90 environmental groups have sided with U.S. timber companies, hoping a steep tariff will slow cutting and change management practices in Canada. And the National Association of Home Builders here in the U.S. has sided with Canada, fearing increased lumber prices. Barry Ruttenberg is a builder in Gainesville, Florida.
In my county, if you have a tree farm, you are exempt from almost all property taxes. I mean, there's just lots of pieces within the systems on both sides. And I think when all the layers are peeled back, the 29% is not warranted, and it's going to be an unnecessary burden on the American consumer.
That may be so. The duties become payable in cash next month. And David Emerson of Canada's Canfor is pessimistic.
Candidly, I don't see it playing out all that much differently than the way it's played out in the past. At the end of the day, you've got the clout in the U.S. to force Canada to its knees, and so far, that seems to be where it's heading.
Litigation may prevail over negotiation. Emerson has filed a $250 million lawsuit against the American government for violations of the free trade agreement. But in the midst of all the finger-pointing, claims and counterclaims, as each country does its best to sustain its timber industry, neither side can hide behind the flag of free trade. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Seattle.